Chapter 49. Spire Albion, Habel Landing Shipyards, AMS Predator. Gwendolyn opened her eyes and regretted it almost at once. She had never drunk wine or other spirits to excess, though she had seen the effect it had produced in any number of House Lancaster's armsmen after various holiday celebrations. She had always found their winces and green faces somewhat amusing. She suspected she would have more sympathy for them in the future. The light did not merely hurt her eyes, it stabbed it with rotted, rusty old swords. Her heartbeat sent pulses of pain through her skull and down her neck as if on wires, and for the life of her, it was everything she could do not to simply roll to one side and commence evacuating the contents of her stomach. Wait a moment. Had she become drunk? The last thing she remembered was the mad old etherealist singing sadistically unfortunate lyrics to a truly disgusting aeronaut's song, and then, an enormous surface creature? Though surely that was an artifact of the feverish barrage of nightmares she'd endured for she knew not how long. Perhaps this was simply a hangover. If so, she had some apology notes to write to Esterbrook and his men. She found herself letting out a groan, and that hurt as well, on top of everything else, as if sudden fingers of fire had dug into her ribs and her back. She put a hand to the pain and found that it met with something a little rough and tight. She had to open her eyes to see what. Bandages. Beneath a rather thin shift, her torso had been wound with bandages until they were almost uncomfortably tight. She had been injured then, while drinking. God in heaven, please no. Benedict would never let her hear the end of it. She lifted a hand to her aching head and found more bandages there, for goodness sake. Her head pounded in steady time. A head injury? Ah, then. Perhaps she hadn't humiliated herself after all. Perhaps she'd simply had her wits scrambled by a blow of some kind. That settled, she turned her eyes to the room she was in. Wood. All wood. Walls, floor, and ceiling. One wall was slightly curved. She was most likely aboard an airship then, which would make the wall a bulkhead, and the floor a deck, and the ceiling a... Well, she wasn't sure what ceilings were called on airships. Ceilings, she supposed. There was another occupant in the room, a man she didn't know, from his dress, one of the sailors aboard Predator. He was armed with sword and gauntlet, but he was currently sitting in his chair and snoring heavily. There were bags under his eyes. The poor man looked utterly exhausted, and one of his legs was dressed with a bandage. One of the men wounded in the first Auroran attack, perhaps? Poor fellow. He was doubtless there to guard her and make sure she didn't get out of bed without speaking to some sort of physician, who wasn't there anyway, so there seemed to be no real sense in waking him. And besides, she was barely clothed. Gwen sat up slowly. Her head spun wildly for a moment and then settled down again. There was a pitcher and a mug on a nearby table that proved to be water. She drank 3 mugs down, hardly stopping to breathe, and in a few moments felt nearly human. Gwen found her clothing lying in a heap nearby. It was stained with... Goodness, what was that horrible purplish colour? And they smelled absolutely hideous. She winced with distaste, put them down, except for her gauntlet, and began to rummage quietly through the compartment's cabinets until she located a modest collection of men's clothing in a trunk. She donned the shirt and the pants, found that they hung off of her like a small tent, and spent the next few moments rolling up the sleeves and legs. Then she donned her gauntlet and felt somewhat better when the cool presence of its weapons crystal rested against her palm. She looked down at herself when finished, and felt certain that Mother would be entirely scandalized by her appearance. It would do. Gwen left the cabin quietly to find her cousin. Benedict would mock her outfit too, but he'd know what was going on. She opened the door and stepped into mist-shrouded late afternoon daylight. Afternoon? How long had she been asleep? Her last memories trailed off around 8 o'clock the previous evening, and she found that gaping blank space in her mind unnerving. Even eerier, the deck of Predator was utterly empty.
"Hello?"
Gwen called. There was no answer. She frowned and began pacing the length of the ship. No one in the masts, no one in the galley or the kitchen. No one in any of the passenger cabins, and the door to the captain's cabin was locked. Gwen rubbed wearily at her eyes, and it was just then that she heard a man's voice bawling vile curses, muffled by the planks of the deck. Gwen moved over to the hatch leading below decks, and the curses grew clearer and louder. She followed them, and in short order found herself in the engineering room, the beating heart of Predator, where the air hummed with the steady drone of an active power core crystal. For a second, she thought that the room's floor was littered with corpses, but after a moment she saw that it was covered with exhausted men who had simply stretched out on the floor and gone to sleep. Several were snoring, though that sound was being drowned out by the invective of the one man still on his feet. He was stocky and bald, and sported an enormous bristling moustache. His coveralls were stained with sweat and grease, and though he wasn't particularly tall, his hands looked strong enough to crush crystals in his fingers. He was crouched in front of the adjustable hemisphere of curled copper bars known as a Haslett cage, and he was working ferociously on an awkwardly placed bolt that secured one of the bars in place. The angle was bad for the wrench, but his stump-like forearms couldn't slip through the bars of the cage very easily, and he was having trouble wrangling the tool into position. Gwen stepped over a sleeping man and said,
"Excuse me, sir."
"What?" snarled the bald man, without looking up from his task.
"I'm looking for Sir Benedict Sorrelin. I was wondering if you'd seen him."
The man grunted.
"He in here?"
Gwen looked around the room at the sleeping men.
Definitely not."
"Same answer,"
the man growled. The wrench slipped as he began to apply pressure, and he wound up gouging his hand on the frame.
"Curse you for a whore," he shouted. "Bloody strumpet! You'll be the death of me."
Gwen blinked several times.
"Excuse me, sir? What did you say to me?"
"I wasn't talking to you,"
the man bellowed, going red all the way across his bald pate.
"I was talking to the bloody ship."
He shot a look over his shoulder and froze there, his mouth open for a moment. Then he scowled, turned back to the Haslett cage, and began trying to squeeze his arm inside to grab the wrench he'd dropped.
"Fantastic. Like I don't have enough to do already. Now I have to deal with aristobrats, too. Captain hates me. That's what it is. You can't go fight Journeyman. You have to stay on the ship and fix her up enough for me to ruin Journeyman. God in heaven, the man hates me."
"Ah, the ship's chief etheric engineer, Journeyman." She'd heard his name mentioned when the ship was docking. Well, chief engineer or no, Gwen felt as if she should have been pinning the man's ears back, but her head hurt horribly. She really didn't feel like smashing it against any more metaphorical walls, or literal ones.
"Sir, I'll be glad to leave you to your work. If you could please direct me to the captain, I'll get out of your hair."
The man's eyes whipped around to her, narrowing.
"My what?"
"Lair," Gwen said quickly. "I said I'd get out of your lair."
The man scowled again and went back to reaching for the wrench.
"Captain's gone. Doc's gone. Every deckhand still on his feet is gone. It's just my crew and these hired slackers left, and Tarky. But Tarky's barely able to hobble along. Guess that means your Benedict is gone too.
Gone where?
Motherless, horse-spawned, mist-sharking tunnel rat!
Journeyman snarled, jerking his hand free.
Oh, for God's sake!
Gwen sighed. She stepped over to the cage and, before the engineer could object, slipped her slender arm easily between the bars, plucked up the wrench, and drew it back out again. She flipped it in her hand and offered it to him handle first. Journeyman eyed her, moustache bristling. Then he snatched the wrench and said,
"You shouldn't play with the ship's systems. If you'd brushed your hand against the wrong arc, you'd have gotten the shock of your life."
"That's why I didn't touch any of the active arcs," Gwen replied calmly. "You're only running power from the topmost bars at the moment, are you not?"
Journeyman's eyebrows lowered, then rose.
You think you know something about ships, do you?"
"I know little about airships," Gwen replied. "I do possess some small knowledge of their systems."
"Sure you do," the man said.
Gwen arched an eyebrow.
"I know the topmost left sidebar is out of alignment by at least 2 degrees. You're losing efficiency from it, probably why the air's so warm in here."
The engineer squinted.
"And why do you think you know that?"
"The tone," Gwen said. "There's a bit of a burr in it on that side."
"Huh?"
the man said. He pursed his lips and looked at her speculatively. Then he rose, grabbed the room's 8-foot-high scaffold and slid it into place over the power core. He climbed up on it and thumped around with the Haslett cage for a bit. Then he climbed back down again.
"All better."
Gwen tilted her head to one side and listened to the hum of the power crystal.
"No," she said. "You didn't fix it. You put it out of alignment by at least another 2 degrees.
The engineer must have grinned for an instant, though the moustache camouflaged it. He grunted, went back up the scaffold and thumped around a bit more.
"How's that?"
"That's done it,"
Gwen replied.
Journeyman hopped back down from the scaffold, eyed her up and down for a second, and then flipped the wrench over in his hand and offered her the handle. Gwen arched a brow and took it.
"And what am I to do with this?"
"Saw which bolt I was working on, did you?"
"Yes."
"So loosen it,"
he said.
"If you can."
Gwen bounced the wrench lightly in her hand. If Captain Grimm and Benedict were gone with the men, they must have been heading to a fight, but she didn't know where, and doubted her ability to run to catch up with them in her present condition. If she had to simply sit and wait for them to return, she might go mad. She nodded, turned to the Haslett cage, and had the bolt loosened within seconds. Not because she was an expert so much as because she had smaller arms and hands and could work them into the available space much more easily than the engineer could.
"Right," Journeyman said when she was done. "Back."
She drew back and Journeyman threw the release on the lower array. The bottom half of the cage's bars began to swing out, opening away from the crystal within the apparatus, like some kind of gleaming copper flower. Pale green light flooded the chamber, glowing out of the depths of Predator's power core. Gwen stared at the rich green crystal for a second. It didn't have the proper jewel-faceted shape. It was instead formed into a much more natural-looking crystal, like a shaft of glowing emerald quartz. And then her eyes widened as she realized what she was looking at.
"God in heaven," she said.
"Uh-huh,"
Journeyman replied. His tone was unmistakably smug.
"That's a first-generation power core," Gwen breathed, "before they started developing facets. How old is it?"
"Few thousand years, at least,"
Journeyman said.
"If it's that old..."
Gwen shook her head. Unlike lumen crystals, or weapons crystals, or cannon crystals, or lift crystals, power crystals only grew more and more capable of efficiently channeling etheric energy. A crystal was rarely considered to be working in its prime before a century of use had worn it into better condition. If the crystal was as old as Journeyman claimed, it would be able to produce more electricity from less etheric energy than almost any crystal Gwen had heard of, which would mean that the ship could sail to more places, farther and farther from the main etheric currents, and do it more swiftly.
"That is a tremendously efficient core," Gwen said. "It should be in a fleet ship."
"Well, she ain't," Journeyman said, "and she ain't going to be. She's Preddy's, and that's that."
"Incredible," Gwen said, shaking her head.
Journeyman's chest swelled.
"Ain't she?"
He squinted at her.
"Where's a little thing like you learn about ship systems?"
"From my mother."
"Who's your mother?"
"Helen Lancaster."
Journeyman frowned for a moment, then he blinked.
"Lancaster? Lancaster Lancaster, you mean? The Vattery?"
"I've been learning about our products since I was old enough to speak," Gwen said, "including running system benchmarks on every crystal before we send it out, which means knowing how the systems work."
"Those Lancasters," Journeyman grunted. "Damn."
He seemed to come to a decision and nodded once.
"I'm going to start kicking these pansies awake in a bit. You want to be useful meanwhile? Captain got us a little bit of a lift crystal to replace our old one. The trim crystals are all in, but I still have to rig the main one. Could use someone with a good ear for that."
"Which crystal?" Gwen asked.
"One of your new Mark IV Ds.
Gwen blinked at him once.
"You misunderstand me, sir. I mean, which crystal? Which one of the Mark IV Ds?
Journeyman's mouth spread into a more recognizable grin this time. He nodded to the far end of the chamber toward the ship's suspension rig.
"You tell me."
Gwen went down to the rig to regard the crystal and whistled.
"This is the one from the vat in Section 3, Row 2. It's one of the best of the batch. God in heaven, if you aren't cautious, with that power core behind it, this crystal could tear the ship apart."
"Tell me something I don't know,"
Journeyman said.
"Which configuration are you planning for its cage?"
"Standard dispersal, maximum spacing,"
Journeyman replied.
"What?"
Gwen asked. "Why would you do that?"
"How else should I do it?"
Journeyman snapped.
"Didn't you read the owner's manual?"
"Manual? See here, missy. I've been an etheric engineer since before you were born. I think I know how to handle a lift crystal."
"Evidently you aren't bright enough to do so if you cannot read. We provide those manuals and specifications and procedures for a reason, you know."
Journeyman scowled.
"You do everything by the book, like everybody else. You get the same results as everybody else."
"That's the idea,"
Gwen said in a dry tone. Journeyman seemed to miss it.
"That might be good enough for every other ship in the world, missy," he said. "But that ain't good enough for Preddy. I get 10 to 15% more out of her systems doing it my way."
"What?" Gwen said. "That isn't possible."
"Maybe not in your workshops," Journeyman said firmly. "But a ship in the open sky is different. You got to know how to treat her the way she likes."
"Well, take it from me. She's not going to like that dispersal pattern," Gwen said. "The bottom hemisphere of the Mark IV Ds is rigged with variable sensitivity. The closer to the positive end you get, the more powerful the crystal's pathways are. You need to set your bars in an asymmetric configuration to maximize sensitivity. If you go with a standard hemisphere, it will be too easy to dump too much current in. Before you know what happened, you'll be watching that crystal fly to the moon while your ship falls, which you would know if you'd read the manual."
Journeyman ground his teeth.
Always improving things that don't need improving, he muttered. Fine. Asymmetric. Show me.